Holy Wit!
Pardon me, what did you just say?
Holy Wit, a podcast for warriors in training.
Welcome back to the Holy Wit podcast. Today you are getting together with Steph and myself, and we are going to talk about conflict resolution. And we're going to talk about what it looks like and how to resolve it. So the first question we're going to answer is, what causes conflict? And I want you to hear this from the book of James 4:1-3. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires with that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So the reality is, and James talked, you know, James, who was the brother of Jesus,
half brother,
talked about this in scripture because he knew that back then there was conflict, and he knew that we would have conflict. So the reality is, even in Christian community, in the church, and everywhere else, there's conflict going on, and there's a lot of conflict nowadays in our world. So we have to first understand that there is conflict, and then we have to think about what does conflict look like? So that's a question to you, Stephanie. What does conflict look like?
You know, it's funny. Earlier this year when I was writing the series on broken branches, I was asking God that same thing because I'm really poor at conflict resolution. I just put that out there right now. I never learned how to resolve conflict. I knew how to start a fight, but I didn't know how to preserve the relationship with fighting. So it's like as soon as I would fight with somebody, that's it. I'd walk away going, the relationship is done. Mm-hmm. Never knew how to go back and salvage, restore the relationship. And God gave me a picture of magnetic energy. And so I'd like, you know, today I want us to consider how conflict resolution is like magnetic energy. Remember, did you ever play with magnets as a kid? You know, those north-south magnetic poles, I think they're red and blue magnets. They're kind of rectangle.
Yep.
And they pick up everything. Well, one side does, and one side is useless, seemingly, when you talk about magnetic energy. And it's interesting because the rule of magnetic energy is that there will always be movement to reduce the field in between the two magnets going from strongest to weakest. So when we look at, when we think about the pole magnets, which are north-south pole magnets, two similar poles, so two north poles, can never come together because the strength that lies in between them repels each other.
Hmm.
And so the in between them, right in the inner core of where you're trying to bring the two together, is the strongest, and they can't come together. You know, you can almost picture, and as you picture putting these magnets together, you could feel the resistance.
Yeah, and they push away and move to the top or the bottom.
Right, but they can never be brought together. But what happens is that the energy field is trying to be evened out through it. So while they're stronger in the center, they're weaker on the outside, which is really fascinating to sit back and think. Two strong poles, so two strong-headed people hanging on to, you know, Dr. Phil calls them right fighters.
Yeah.
Two right fighters can never come together because they're going to constantly repel each other. But what happens is that the energy has to even itself out. It's a law of nature, or it's a magnetic law of nature, however you want to call it. And so outside of that person, it has to become weaker. So what's outside that person? Well, your relationships are outside that center. So it's not only the relationship between the two people, it's also the relationship with those who are around them. So it could be family, it could be friends, it could be your church family, it could be your small groups, it could be anything. Anybody that's around these two right fighters, it's going to cause division in the whole.
Mm.
And I thought that picture was so fascinating. When you look at the other side, so those are your two similar magnets. So if you bring a north end and a south end together, you've got two opposite poles coming together. And they will come together because their strengths offset their weaknesses. And then now they attract one another. And you could also hear in your mind the click that happens when those two opposite poles come together. And they're so strong. And so now they are so strong in the center, how does that work? You have the two opposite poles coming together actually weaken the center. That's why they can come together, because they attract. And so then what happens is it actually strengthens. As the energy evens itself out, it strengthens all those around them.
Right.
So it strengthens the relationship between the two people, between your family, between your small groups. And everybody wins.
Mm-hmm.
I love that picture.
It's a great picture.
So that's what it looks like. So when we have two people who are holding on to their positions, they're similar magnetic energy, if you want to think about it that way. When one is not bending. And it doesn't mean that when you bend, you're weak. It means that you're willing to resolve that conflict. You're willing to come together. You're willing to salvage that relationship.
And so when that happens, when you have two strong-willed or strong-headed people who believe that they're right and they're not going to change the way they think, you know, and they're so determined to get the other person to agree with them, and both are doing the same thing, and you talk about how that affects other people around you. What does that look like as it affects other people, other relationships around you, when the one relationship is at a block or a standstill because there's resistance from those two individuals?
Well, you're either going to have people picking sides, or you're going to have people going away because they don't want anything to do with it.
Mm.
And like I was saying earlier, then the whole community suffers. Nobody wins.
Yeah, because if those two people who are having that conflict, eventually they're going to get to the point where there's no resolution to the conflict. So they're going to walk away, either angry, normally angry or bitter with the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And that potentially can lead to other areas of what we consider sin
mm-hmm.
in our lives. Gossip, mm-hmm. slander, you know, you go mm-hmm. away saying, oh, that person, they're so stubborn, they don't want to see my point of view, and they did this, they did that, and they actually look for other people
yep.
in their communities, like yep. you say, just to side with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they start to divide the larger spiritual family or larger community, because they're getting, you know, they're going around trying to get people on their side.
And what happens if one person's got a dozen people on their side from the community, but that one person challenges their way of thinking
mm-hmm.
and says, maybe you need to look at it differently. Maybe you need to understand it from the other point of view. Most often that knee-jerk reaction from that person is going to be to have nothing to do with the one who challenges the way of thinking. You don't agree with me? Well, now you're dead to me.
Right. Yeah, you don't agree with me, you're with the other person.
You don't love me. Well, love is not agreeing with you.
Right.
Love is actually challenging your way of thinking when you are living in destructive patterns.
Yeah. And destructive thinking.
Destructive thinking leads to destructive patterns.
Yeah, we know that.
Right. So now we know what it looks like. And James is, he's brilliant. Of course he'd be brilliant, because he was the half-brother of Jesus. He spent a lot of time growing up.
Right, hanging out with Jesus.
Hanging out with
listening
Jesus.
To him.
So the first thing that we're supposed to do is we're supposed to go to the person one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
Biblically speaking, this is what Jesus has told us, how to resolve conflict. The problem with conflict being because we're offended on the smallest grievance, we blow it up when we talk to other people, and we make it bigger than it really is, and we make it a slight against us. Well, this person attacked me because of this, or the devil attacked me because of this. Sometimes none of that applies.
Right.
Sometimes it's if you're going to talk about the person behind their back, at least show them enough respect and go to them face to face before you bring in the entire community. Because what happens, and we see this so often between husbands and wives, the wife will go and talk to her family, say, for instance, about something uncool that the husband did. And then behind closed doors, the husband and wife resolve their conflict. But they never follow up with the family.
Yeah.
And so the family's still thinking that the husband is a jerk. But they don't know that the conflict's been resolved.
Right.
And so it just keeps perpetuating. And so then now there's unresolved conflict between the family and the husband. The husband doesn't know why.
He's being mistreated or...
Or shunned or avoided or talked bad about. I mean, we have people in our lives, as I'm sure everybody has, that one person in their life that has nothing good to say about anybody else.
Yeah.
It could be because they've heard everybody, you know, they've heard a lot of grievances, but never heard of any resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Jesus said, go one-on-one to the person, I believe he said that so that we avoid, so that he keeps us. He wants us to not go to others first. He wants us to go straight to the person. And I love that. You say this often when people come to you in ministry settings and they're complaining about somebody else or complaining about a leader in a group. Oh, I don't like this leader because they did this and that. And what do you say to them?
Have you gone to that person and talked to them one-on-one about this?
Right. And why is that so threatening?
Why is it threatening to the person when they're asked that question?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, because most people avoid conflict. The reality is humans, they don't embrace conflict. They usually avoid conflict because it's uncomfortable. And so when that challenge comes to them to go one-on-one, then they have to not only have to deal with the conflict, but they also have to deal with what's going on internally within them as well, that they want to avoid conflict. It's way easier to go and talk about somebody outside of it, or come to me or somebody else and can you go talk to them on my behalf?
Mm-hmm.
But by going by sending them back one-on-one is actually, like you said, it's a version of tough love. It's a way of causing them to confront their own fears about that person or about conflict. And it's a way to force growth in the person and maturity by making them go through something that is uncomfortable.
And I think we can agree that when two people are in conflict with each other and one or both are going to everybody else but who they need to go to, and they begin to dehumanize the person. Mm-hmm. And so then it's easier to talk bad about them because they're dehumanized. But when they come together, they're forced to see the humanity of the person. They see the facial expression. They see,
yes,
you know, what's going on. And now they can hear through voice inflection the person's heart.
Body language.
The body language.
Yeah. Yeah, this is why we don't do this via text or via email.
Or Facebook or Instagram. Yeah,
or whatever it is, hide behind our keyboard. We need to, wherever possible, and as long as it's safe, go to the person face-to-face, one-on-one.
And before we go to them one-on-one, there's a few questions that we should ask ourselves before we go in. I think the very first question, the most important question, is what's the end goal in getting together with the person? Do you want to get together with them to force them to see it your way?
Mm-hmm.
Here's a book you need to read, and now you know it my way.
Yeah.
Are you looking for them to agree with you? And all too often we come up with silly excuses. Oh, I was tired that day. Oh, I had all this other stuff going on. Well, if that's the excuse you're using to destroy a relationship, then that's on you.
Right. You're responsible for that.
You're responsible for it. You need to ask yourself, are you willing to listen and understand the person's point of view, where the other person's coming from? And again, we talk a lot about Dr. Caroline Leaf, but I think some of her research is so brilliant. I don't think all of it is. I think some of it is.
Yeah.
And the one thing that she says is that we are all unique in our how we think and how we feel and how we choose. So even as we're having this conversation with each other, we understand in terms of how we think, feel, and choose what the other person is saying.
Mm-hmm.
And often that can cause conflict. But when we actively listen and we try to get a sense of how the other person is thinking, feeling, and choosing,
yeah,
oftentimes that's enough to resolve the conflict and build wisdom in how to engage in the future. It doesn't mean that we avoid the topic that caused conflict. It means we begin to learn about each other's way of thinking, feeling, and choosing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not going to go there like this because I know that will cause that they'll see it this way.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to word it in a way that I know that where I think and I hope and I think I've learned how they'll understand it so that I'm not misunderstood.
Yeah.
Right? It's all lost. We talk a lot about lost in translation. But after we ask ourselves, are we going one-on-one just to prove our side? Are we going one-on-one to look for agreement? Or are we going to actively listen to the other person? We have to ask ourselves, why am I doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I going to them one-on-one? And if I'm going to them one-on-one, am I willing to forgive? Even if they don't forgive me, am I willing to forgive them?
Right.
Because it's not about reciprocation. You know, we often think, oh, I forgive you. And then you're supposed to say,
and I forgive you.
Right. But often what happens is I forgive you. And the other person, if they're not ready, they'll say,
for what?
Forgive me for what?
Yeah, what did I do to
you? This wasn't my problem.
Yeah.
This was your doing.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just not ready to be resolved.
Right.
At that point. And that brings up the next question that you need to ask yourself when you're in a one-on-one situation with somebody. Is it worth it? Is it beneficial to rehash the event that caused the conflict? Sometimes it's not healthy to rehash it right then.
Right.
As you reconcile, you'll be able to talk about it, but your emotions won't be at the ceiling about it because you've rehashed it. You've decided that saving the relationship is more important than judging who was right and who was wrong. Yeah. Right? So sometimes it's not beneficial to rehash the event because it'll stir up those raw, unfiltered emotions if you're talking about it the first time. Mm-hmm. But sometimes later you can revisit to gain clarity. But what I'm saying is oftentimes that initial one-on-one is probably not the best time to rehash the events that led to the conflict.
Yeah.
And then if you're going to bring it up, and when you bring it up, are you willing to own your part?
Mm-hmm.
That's so critical. Like, we had a conflict not too long ago that the moment that we came in and we decided with this person that we weren't doing this.
Yeah.
We were not going to participate and become and take up that similar position that person had, and instead asked God to show us, give us eyes to see this person.
Mm-hmm.
And we came back, we went to the store, got a note, picked up some flowers, and as soon as we walked in, what happened? Yeah. Saw the flowers, saw the notes, didn't even open the flowers, didn't even open the note, and all of a sudden, boom, the tension was gone.
Yeah.
The conflict was gone. Sometimes you got to decide, I'm not going to go there. We're not doing this right now. Mm-hmm. We're not doing this ever.
Right.
If something's bugging you, let's talk about it, but let's not make it something that it's not. And often too many times that happened, my son came to me and goes, I don't know what to do with people. I don't know how to respond. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do when somebody's mood just switches. And I said, sometimes it's best to say nothing. Sometimes it's good to just say what it is at the moment. What's going on? What just happened?
Yeah, name it. Sometimes you got to name it.
Right. Yeah. Instead of saying, I'm not going there. When we go one-on-one to the person, are we willing to express how you were hurt?
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes we don't do that. We devalue our emotions. We devalue our heart and say, it was no big deal.
Yeah.
And we don't want to say how deeply it hurt us.
Right. Which we need to. We need to be honest with ourselves and with others mm-hmm. around that.
And then we need to be willing to hear how we've hurt that other person.
Yes.
And sometimes it's like you just want to stick your fingers in your ears and go, la, 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 I can't hear it anymore. I don't want to hear it anymore. And then, of course, we talked about, am I willing to forgive? But going back to the hurt part, how do we know how to express our feelings without assigning blame? I wouldn't have blown up if you didn't do this.
Yeah, it goes back to you always do this, or you blaming the other person first rather than saying, as a lot of experts will tell you to say, when this happened, it made me feel this way.
Right.
Right. So you're naming the situation and you're bringing it back to your feelings. You're not putting blame on somebody else for your feelings.
So when we want to go to that person one-on-one, remember, when you think of the two magnetic poles, we are going in the opposite posture.
Yeah.
We are going already with the mindset that I'm not going to make this worse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hear the other person.
Yeah.
And oftentimes when we hear the other person, we realize if our conflict is with the other person because of something that they said or something that they did, and we took it personally, oftentimes, more often than not, when we get one-on-one with the person, we realize that there was something else that triggered them.
Yeah.
And this isn't assigning blame. This is a part of seeing the person mm-hmm. for who they are. But what the beauty of it, the beauty in conflict resolution is that everybody wins. So even if the other person just blew up on you for no apparent reason and you responded in a certain way, it's not lost when you go to resolve conflict one-on-one, because what it does is the Lord will bring up in you why you responded a certain way.
Yeah.
And now you can deal with it. And the other person, the Lord may be bringing up to them, why do I act like this when this happens? Mm-hmm. And you start to recognize how you think, feel, and choose you in a destructive manner.
Yeah.
And you can come together. And often, more times than not, we've experienced conflict resolution, actually building the relationship stronger, yeah. building a stronger bond. And that's those two magnetic or the opposite poles again. They attract mm-hmm. each other, and right. it makes everything else on the outside stronger. So it makes your relationship stronger. And it attracts those on the outside to be part of what you have. Yeah. And that's a beautiful thing.
Right. So that's conflict resolution in a brief nutshell. There's more to it. We want to grow in it ourselves. And some people may say, well, why should I have to do it? And I want to just kind of wrap up with the thought of, scripture tells us, however possible, be at peace with all people. Doesn't say we're going to always be at peace with people, but however possible with us, so doing our part, we need to be at peace with people. So sometimes we'll go, like Jesus said, if somebody offends you, go to them one-on-one and talk to them. And sometimes we'll do that and they'll reject us. And so scripture tells us then to, if we go to them, then they reject us or we don't get the resolution that we think that is needed. Then the scripture tells us then to go and get somebody else and bring that other person with us. And that's the idea of bringing a mediator in. It's not bringing somebody else in who's on your side.
Pick your right? side. You're ganging up on them.
Yeah, ganging up. It's bringing somebody with who has godly wisdom and inviting them into that conversation between the two of you in order to help facilitate that conflict resolution. And then if that doesn't happen, then what does the scripture say?
Well, then you gotta walk away, but... We'll get into that in a future podcast.
Right. But part of that, because there is a bit on what I'm trying to say here. Oh. There is a biblical pattern to what Jesus commanded us to do in regards to conflict resolution. And part of that is before, like you said, before we go in. So think about these things. There's steps to this. First, check our heart. Check mm-hmm. your own heart. Are you willing to forgive this person privately, not telling them, but in your heart? Are you willing to offer forgiveness to them?
Between you and God.
Between you and God. Mm-hmm. Are you, check why you're doing it. Are you bitter? Mm-hmm. Because if you're operating out of bitterness, maybe this has been going on for a while, bitterness is usually a bad fruit of unforgiveness. And so if there's bitterness, you need to work on your bitterness before you enter into this, enter into that conversation. And then set the right timing. Send an email telling them why you want to meet. Not all the details, but why you want to meet. Set a kind of a neutral time, a neutral location, and set it up so for success, not mm-hmm. for failure. Mm-hmm. These are little things that we can do in advance to make sure that the conflict resolution goes more smoothly or has a better chance of success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're not likely to get into a fist fight in a coffee shop as opposed to if you met in someone's home.
Right. And sometimes a coffee shop isn't private enough.
Right.
And so you might need to find a space that's neutral, like maybe a room in a church once they've reopened. And
a park bench
COVID,
somewhere.
A park bench somewhere. Somewhere mm-hmm. where it's not challenging if you start to do show. Or the other person starts to show emotion that they're not going to clam up, or you're not going to have people listening into your conversation.
Well, this is where the scripture is so brilliant, because love covers a multitude of sin.
Mm-hmm.
So you go in love to the other person and you let them know that they're valued.
Yeah.
And that the reason why you're meeting is because you want to restore the relationship. You don't want it broken.
Yes.
Oftentimes that when you speak of it sincerely from your heart and the other person sees the sincerity, mm-hmm. it'll break down so many barriers and conflict resolution. You'll be like, wow, that was easy. Where's that Staples button? Yeah. That was easy.
Yeah, the easy button.
Why didn't I learn this 20 years ago?
Right.
But it's so difficult to make that first move.
Yes.
But do it, because yeah. it's worth it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is something that is a challenge for you and it is uncomfortable for you and you're not sure how to do this, again, we want to coach you through it. So we offer
as best we can.
Yeah, as best we can. We want to teach you what we have learned, and then help you walk through conflict. So if you have relationships that are in conflict, especially after this Thanksgiving weekend, maybe there are certain things that were brought up.
Your table wasn't big enough. We're supposed to social distance.
Yeah, whatever it is, we invite you to contact us. Go to go to the website, warriornations.ca, on the contact page, and send us an email, and we'll connect with you and start to walk and coach you in the proper ways to do conflict resolution.
As Jesus described, his way.
This podcast has been brought to you by Cam Harris Art. Functional art and inspirational sculpture. Visit www.camharris.ca to find out more.